And Pastor Ajay from New Delhi, India, let's give him a hand. And once a year, he'll come to the States, and this will be his time this year. We usually bring him in more towards August, but there was an opportunity to have him this morning, so we're happy to have him. We've been in a relationship for a long time, and we have gone and served their ministry on a couple of occasions in New Delhi. And I always say that out of all the nations, that's my favorite place to go. There's just something about India that I absolutely love. So we definitely have a kindred heart with your nation. And we appreciate you being with us. Pastor Ajay is the founder of Assembly of Believers in New Delhi, a local church that is really growing and multiplying. And also the founder of Victorious Life Ministries that has a lot of different outreaches to the community, one of which is an orphanage, and also a ministry to the elderly, and also a ministry in the slums. And the slums are nothing like you would think a slum is here in America. It's really, really a very dark, dark place where people live and have community and raise children. We did go to the slums one of the times that we were there, and it was an experience I'll never forget. So anyway, we're really happy to have Pastor Ajay with us. We want to give him a warm welcome. Let's go ahead and welcome Pastor Ajay. Come on up.
Hallelujah. Are you excited? Good to see you. Wow. Praise the Lord. It's always a pleasure for me to be in this ministry, in this church, because this church is in our heart. And I always feel like that we have heard so many things, what God is doing in different cities and countries. But what I can tell you that this church has a great work in our country, in our church, because we have learned the encounters through this ministry. And Pastor Rob has done two or three encounters here in Delhi, in our city, Delhi. And our church is blessed by these encounters, and God is doing great things in our ministry. And I just want to tell you a little story about me. When I met Pastor Rob, that was a time when I had only 100 people in our church. And Pastor Rob has invited us to go to Colombia. And we had a great time there, Bogota. I think Bogota we were there. And it was a great time, and we saw the greatest work of the ministry there. And we saw the one pastor is having a largest church there. And when we were in this auditorium, and God spoke to my heart that one day you will also have a largest church. So it was in my church there was 100 people that time. And it was a difficult to believe that, but I believed. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible says, I will build my church, not you. Whenever pastors trying to build the church, he destroys the church actually. But when God comes in the picture, when Jesus says, I will build, and we allow the Lord to build, he always goes according to his will. And when I came back, I lost 40 members. I said, Lord, you spoke to me in Bogota that you will have a large church, and 40 people left me. Only 50, 60 people are there. Lord said, do you believe? I said, yes, I believe. So he gave me some idea. Say idea. God always works through ideas. And the idea is the word. In the beginning, there was idea to make the earth. In the hearts of God, there was an idea. So God gave me some idea, and I followed that idea of that one That was, you know what that was? Establish life groups. And I picked some 4 or 5 people and I started working with them, and you know, we started establishing life groups, and these groups are becoming more and more active. And these people were working good. And now we have 56 churches around city. 1,500 members in our ministry. And God is blessing our church, and we are going towards that vision that one day we'll have a larger church. Hallelujah. And we have a plan to establish a good big facility for 5,000 people can sit together. And God's still telling me, do you believe? I'm still struggling. But now I know how God works. Hallelujah. I believe it. And one day we will have that. Amen. So I'm excited what God is doing, and I'm part of that movement. And we are second largest church in Delhi right now. In our city, we are second largest, and we are going towards a larger church. That was a vision God has given me. Hallelujah. So how many believe that it can be possible? You believe it? Your prayers, your support, we need it. And please do that. And thank you, Pastor Rob. I'm praying again that Pastor Gail and you both come in 2019. And we'll have another encounter. Amen. Pastor Gail, you will enjoy there. Hallelujah. So how many are ready to receive the word of God? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we have a agenda to go to the church for some silly reasons. Oh, what I'm going to do at home? Let me go. Let me sit down and watch the show. You know, sometimes we come only for the crazy donuts. I heard this name here, crazy donuts. Wow. Sometimes we have some different ideas and agendas to go to the church, but I always feel that we should go to the church for one specific reason, and that is that my Father, my Lord, my King is waiting for me to meet me. And he's going to tell me something today. And I'm going to hear his word. It should be our agenda. I should worship my Father. You know, so when we come with the right reasons, God always speaks to us. Rain coming. Wow. First time I'm preaching in an indoor stadium and with the rain. Wow. Praise the Lord. So God spoke to my heart, and I was praying for this Sunday. And I heard that Pastor Rob is teaching you a series of spiritual warfare. That's important. But for that, you know, God spoke to my heart that you have to tell the people to pray. God has given me a message for the prayer. How many believes in prayer? 4 or 5 people is good. At least. Wow. You know, we love music, we love dancing, we love Word of God, we love fellowship, we love food and everything. But sometimes we don't love the prayer meetings. I have experienced that when you have a call of prayer meetings, people comes very in less gathering. Why they do it like this? Why? You know why? Bible says you should pray. You must pray. Bible is not saying that you should pray if you want. Or if you like to pray. No. Bible says you must pray. That means there is no other option. But why people don't pray? God has given me, I will just give you some statement before I start my preaching. And it's very important to understand when God says you pray, You must understand why we should pray. Prayer is most misunderstood and misconcept activity in the church. Because we don't understand the power and the purpose of prayer, that is why we don't pray. You know, sometimes we feel like that we are praying, we are not praying, we are in complaining sometimes. People complain to God, what he's doing, see? What she's doing, see? These are our complaints. These are not prayers. Sometimes we not praying, but we just giving information to God. We just inform. And that's not prayer. What prayer is all about, we should understand. What is the prayer and why we should pray? Other thing is, prayer is not a religious activity. Sometimes we take it like a, these people are those who are most praying. We can, you know, we put them in one category, they are religious people. When you see some people are praying, oh, he's religious. No, prayer is not a religious thing. Because religiousness come from the religion. And Jesus Christ did not bring the religion, but he brought the kingdom. How many believe that? Kingdom of God. He said, repent, because kingdom of God has arrived. Matthew 4:17. Kingdom of God means king has arrived. You watch out. For that reason, you have to repent. So he didn't bring the religion. That is why he didn't join the religious group at that time. Only the religious people crucified Jesus Christ. You know that? The religion were after the Lord. They didn't like the idea of what Jesus was preaching. All the synagogue were empty when Jesus Christ used to walk on the street. Everybody is following the Lord. Everybody wants to see what he is going to do now. Hallelujah. You know, you don't need crowd to follow you. You need the leadership, and people will always follow you. Hallelujah. So sometimes we don't understand the power of the prayer, and that's why we don't do it. And we make another excuses. Another question, why people don't go for prayer gatherings? Because they don't get result. Because they say, oh, my problem is the same. My sickness is the same. My family problem is the same. I haven't got the breakthrough. I prayed. So many people have prayed for me, but nothing happened. So we don't get result, so we don't pray. Or sometimes we tell other people, you know, you pray because you have intercessory prayer. So we have given the responsibility of the prayer to certain group who are intercessors. If you read Bible, you will find out there is no ministry intercessoring. There is no ministry in the Bible. Because everybody has to pray. That doesn't mean the group of people who are intercessors, they are the only in charge of the prayer. And we, in our country, in my country, you know what happens? I don't know here. I feel that here must be like this too. That in India, the men send their wives to the temple. You go and perform all the religious activities. We are sitting at home. You pray for us. You go and pray for me, my business and everything. So they send their ladies to the temples. And sometimes we feel like the ladies only for the prayers group. And we send them to pray. But that is not right. And Bible says, Bible doesn't say if you pray. He said, Jesus said, when you pray. There is no other excuse now. You should pray. When you pray, Jesus taught the disciple, when you pray. So, there are three misconceptions. We have questions like, I had all this question too. Why we don't pray? Because we have three questions. When God is sovereign, why we pray? When God is almighty, he can do anything. He knows what to do. So why should we pray? Why we should waste our time? Sometimes we feel like that we are wasting our time in prayer, but we don't understand that we are investing our time. Hallelujah. So when God is sovereign, why we pray? Second question. If God is not influenced by us, so why we pray? When God is sovereign, he's not influenced by us because he's sovereign God. He's not influenced of our prayer. So we feel like that, why should we pray then? And third question is, if God is not affected by our prayers, so why we should pray? We cannot move God like with the tears, with crying, and saying some very emotional words to God. We cannot affect God. In fact, God was very much happy to hear the prayer which had no words. How many believe the prayers of Hannah? She was not speaking. There was no word. So sometimes we understand that why we should pray, because God is not influenced by us. I got the answer. How many wants to listen? Answer. Why we should pray? Why we should get the result? Because we don't get the result. So what we get the depression. When we don't find anything practically, so we get depression. We internally feel like that we have done all the things. We fasted, we prayed, we this and that, and nothing happens, means discouragement has come. So I got the answer. Answer number one. God is sovereign as his word. Say word. Word means what God has said. He is sovereign as his word. Second is, God is limited by his word. When he says something, he's limited. He cannot do extra. Praise the Lord. Because he says, when he says, I love you, that means he will love you in all your circumstances. He will not, never, if he says, I will never leave you alone, that means he will say, whatever has happened, but I will not leave you. This is my word. I cannot do extra because I already spoken that I will not leave you. Praise the Lord. So, the third is, God will never violate his word. How many believe that? Hallelujah. That is why we don't hear God more. Because he speaks, then he's bound in his word. Hallelujah. Okay, one thing more. Whatever God speaks, it becomes a law or decree. Whatever God says, it becomes also law for God. Until God speaks, he is sovereign. But when he speaks, he is trapped in his own word. That is why prayer is created, because of the limitation of God's word. Prayer is created for this only reason, because God never speaks all the time. If he speaks all the time, we'll be in trouble. How many believes that? When God speaks, it's decree. He's already becomes law. That God also is trapped in that word. I will let you know how God works and why I'm saying the prayer is important. Why he's connected with the prayer. Why this attitude of God is connected with the prayer. Because Bible says in Genesis 1 chapter 26 verse. Before that I read, how many believe that God is a spirit? How many believe that? John 4:24 says God is a spirit. How many believe that? He's a spirit. Hallelujah. That means he has no physical body. So Genesis 1:26 says something, and it says, let us make man according to our image and according to our likeness. And then it says, let them have dominion. Let them have, let they will reign over the fish on the sea, the birds on the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animal that scurry along the ground. Bible says, let us make man and they will reign. Say, they will reign. Let them have dominion. That means God is excluding himself and is saying, no, no, I will make man, they will reign on earth, they will rule the earth, they will have dominion on the earth. I am spirit, I am not a body, and I'm giving this man authority to work on earth because he is a dirt body. He has a dirt body. It's a dirt body. We have dirt body. So God has given our life to reign on the earth. Adam was given the authority to reign on the earth, and God made Adam like himself. Say, like himself. Means God was powerful. God is almighty. And he also made Adam a mighty person on the earth. So you have to take care of the earth. How many believe this? So that means God is excluding himself to work on the earth because he is given to the power to Adam. Okay. How many believe this devil is also a spirit? How many believe that? Only 4 or 5 people? Come on. Good morning. Hallelujah. So devil is also has a spirit. When he wanted to deceive Eve, so he hired a body of serpent to talk to this lady. This is how we understand then when this Eve, the skinny lady, going to pluck that fruit which was forbidden, and God was watching him. He is Almighty God. He could do anything. He could do so many things. He could say, oh, what I'm doing? Save the mankind. But he was watching the show. You know why? Because he cannot violate his word. Hallelujah. He cannot, because he said, let them have dominion. Means God is out of the picture. Only one person can stop this lady. Who was that? Who? Say Adam. It's a long story. If I go Adam and Eve's problem, it will be different message altogether. I don't understand Adam was in fault or the Eve in his fault. I don't know. Next time I'll come, I'll take a family seminar. Okay. So, God did not violate his word because he said, let them have dominion. So, he didn't do anything to stop this woman. That's why she ate that fruit and gave to her husband also. But prayer born in that day. Prayer born in Garden of Eden. Because when God said, let them have dominion, means they will be needing me. And they will be talking to me. That's why God every day used to come to this garden. Why? Because Adam had to talk. Adam has to tell everything, every story. What happened in the whole day? So he was there to listen. Prayer were established in Garden of Eden. But the question is why we should pray. And why we don't pray. Prayer is earthly lessons for heavenly interference. Nothing can be done on earth without cooperation of human. Say, I am that important. Say, I am that important. God needs my body. Say, I am an important person. And God needs my body. Because he has nothing. He has no body. So when he wants to do something on earth, he always needs us. And he, if he do, if you, have you read the Bible? Good, good job. If you haven't read, you read it again and find out God never does anything on earth without a man. He did not do anything on earth in all Bible. You know when he wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, so he went straight to Abraham's house and talked to him. I'm going to destroy. Listen, God, I want to ask you one thing. Why are you going to Abraham's house? Why did you go straight to the Sodom and Gomorrah? I need lessons. I need Abraham permission. That's why he said, if they are 50, I will leave it. 45, leave it. 40, leave it. 30, 20. And the last he said, if there is only 10 righteous people, will you destroy everyone? He said, no. Bye. I got the permission. And he straight go to the Sodom and Gomorrah. And he knows okay, he's asking for the Lot, his nephew. So he put this family out of that situation and he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, God destroyed because of Abraham gave the permission. That is why we should pray. Why we don't pray? Because we don't understand why we should pray. We should pray because God needs to do something in our family. In our children's life, in our businesses, in our offices, in our personal life, we should understand this situation that God is entrusting to do certain things, but he needs our body. You know, when God blesses you, give me one idea. When God wants to bless you, the angels comes to you? Or a person comes to you. Maybe your boss, maybe your friend, might be your family person, maybe your parents, those who bless you, give you house, cars, blessings. Who they are? They are the people on earth. God tells people, go and bless my child. This happened to me many times. One day, one guy came to me, my house, and said, I'm 7 days struggling with one issue. I said, what? He said, every day God is telling me to do something, and I was denying. 7 days I was denying. I said, what happened to you? He said, take a car key. God is telling me to give you a car. He brought a new brand car. In front of my car, home. I was struggling. And God is telling me, go and give the car to him. Wow. Who came? A body. a dirt, a person on earth. But God uses people for you to bless your life. If you have a business, God will send the clients. Buy this business product. Hallelujah. If you are working, your boss will be giving you favor. God is telling boss, come on, give favor. She is my daughter. Hallelujah. You are more important on earth. God is spirit, but he uses people to bless your life. That's why you should pray. That's why you should pray. Because prayer will give God direction and permission to do certain thing in your life. Okay, Amos 3:7 says, listen, I'm talking from the Bible. I'm not telling from my own imagination. What I'm saying, telling you is all in the Bible. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. God never do anything on earth unless he reveals something to the servants. Why he goes to the servants of God? You know, my mother died last year, 19 July. I was in India that time. One day God tapped me in the night. It was 1:30 in the morning. Somebody tapped me like this. I woke up. And before that, I was seeing one dream. And that in that dream, somebody's telling in my ear, let my people go. He was telling me, because my mother was sick and I was praying for her healing. I was praying for healing. Lord, heal my mother. Heal my mother. But he said, let my people go. I didn't understand why he's telling me to do this thing. Suddenly God had reminded me, your mother is in a sick bed and I want to call her, but you are not letting her go. Let my people go. That night I prayed, Lord, your will be done. And she died there. She was in America, I was in India. She died when I said, let your will be done. This is reality. This is the reality I'm telling you. God never does anything without telling his servants. I have so many stories to tell you like this. You know, when God wants to do certain things in your family, he put desire in your spirit. And you started praying for that. Lord, I have a desire like this to see my children like this. God wants to bless your children, so he will give you the desire to, you should pray for your children. So children will be blessed through you, but God will talk through you, and God will bless your children through you, but he need connection. Clap for the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why we should pray. Because he needs your body. He is illegal on earth if he comes by himself. And he always does things through you. So we need prayer. It's all biblical. How many believe that God delivered all the Israelite from the Egyptian category. Egyptian, in that area they were living, in Egypt. He delivered all the Israelite. How many believe that? So he said, Bible says in Exodus 3 chapter 7th verse, and it says like this. It's very wonderful. I have come down to deliver them from the hands of the Egyptian. I have come down. God is saying, I have come down. To whom he's saying? He's saying to the Moses. If you come down to deliver your people, why are you talking to me in wilderness? You should be in Egypt. That time Moses was not in Egypt. He was in the wilderness. Why is he talking to Moses? Moses, I have a plan. I will deliver. He's not saying, can you come? Remember this thing. God will never ask your permission. He will still direct it, guide you, do this thing. Because he owns you. How many say Lord to the Lord Jesus? How many say Lord? Have you heard this name before? Lord? Come on, lift your hands. I'm not raising fund. Lord. Okay, what's the meaning of Lord, sister?
What?
What's the meaning of Lord?
Master?
Master?
Owner.
Owner. Master is not the right word for the... Master is... is like a... You know... Like a servant. Master for the servant. But the owner is owner for everything. Lord means owner. He owns you, he owns your car, he owns your husband, he owns your wife, he owns your business, he owns your children, everything. He's the owner. He will never request you. He will guide you, do this and do that. If you're reluctant to do that, he will snatch you. Because he's the owner. It's good when he asks something, freely give. Because you don't own anything in this world. How many owners are here? Everybody is down. No, not lifting their hands. He is the owner. He is the Lord. Whatever you have in your pocket, in your bank, he is the owner. When he says something, do this, do that. Because he will give you blessing. You know how? How he blesses you? What Bible says? When he gives you, shaken together, running over, he blesses you. How? Shaken together, running over. But before that, he wants something that you should give. Give and it shall come back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. But before that what? Give. We receive. We want to receive. God is saying you will not get the blessing because you want to receive. You should be in this attitude. You should give first. 5,000 people are sitting. Hungry. Disciples, what do you have? Give something. Jesus didn't say, oh, let them go back. How they will be? No, no. Give something. What do you have for giving? I have only 2 fish and 5 loaves. Bring it to me. You have to give first. Then I will multiply. That's why you should give tithe and offering regularly. If you don't give, he will take it. He will not ask you. He will take it by himself. You know why? Because he's the owner. If you violate his word, he will take it. That's why people will say, oh, why I'm met with the accident? Why somebody has asked me and I've given the money and he's not returning? Why a doctor has taken so much money? Why we have so much taxes? Give. He's the owner. Pastor, this was not my message actually. Okay. Are you excited? Enjoying? Praise the Lord. So God used this man, Moses, and he said, you know what the Bible says? He said, I have come down to deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptian, but now you go. In the beginning, he said, no, no, I'm not worthy. I'm not able to stalk right. He said, oh, no, I will take care. I will take care. I need body. I need somebody who obeys me. And what when I am delivering them, I need somebody who can take my guidance. Because I have no legal right on earth. I need Moses. I need you. When he agreed, you know what? If you read whole chapter, any one thing, if you can tell me, God did by without Moses, I will leave the ministry. Every time God said, lift your rod, and it will happen. Do this, and tell Pharaoh, I'm saying to you. And he always does. And whatever has happened, because Moses was totally given his life to in the hands of God. And he delivered. And 10th verse, you know what Bible says in Exodus 10th, 3rd chapter, 10th verse. And it's declared like this. What it says? So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of Egyptians. So the Lord saved Israel. It didn't say Moses did it. It said Lord did it. Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egypt that day when the Red Sea were in two parts. And every time Moses was in the hands of God, do this, do that, do this, do that. It's very biblical. And God wants to do certain things in your life if you give your body for prayer. Remember, prayer is not religious activity. You don't become religious when you pray, but you become smart when you pray. Hallelujah. How many wants to be smart? Somebody said, don't work hard, work smart. Sometimes we believe in working hard, working smart. It's working smart. When you pray, you're working smart. Because you are giving God permission to work on your behalf. Hallelujah. Okay. If you read Ezekiel 37 chapter, how many know the story about the dry bones? Have you read about the dry bones? Ezekiel 37 chapter. And this Ezekiel was a man of God. God goes to the man of God and says, what do you think about these dry bones? Will it be alive again? He saw the dry bones and he said, you know better, Lord, I don't know. So what he said, God said, prophesy. As he prophesied, dry bones coming together, becoming a structure. And again he said, do you believe that they can have a flesh on this body structure? You know, Lord, prophesy. So he prophesied. Means always God uses people to do his work. Pastor Rob is here, me is here, you are here for his work. We are not here for the spending time in a good vacation. We are responsible person on this earth to see the work should be done. Hallelujah. So we are not here to just pass your time, enjoy your time, but you are here to work for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Are you feeling responsible for that? You're not here on earth to just enjoy making money, buying good house, buying good expensive cars, and enjoying your life, and you're just feeling that's very good. No. You are here on earth to do certain things for God, for the kingdom. Young fellows, you are not here on this earth to use your body to enjoy the pleasure of the world. You are here on earth to enjoy the presence of God first. Hallelujah. Clap for the Lord. You know, when God made Adam in his image and he put in the Garden of Eden. What the meaning of the Garden of Eden? The place where God meets. The place, the presence of God is there. First thing Adam had, the presence of God. Before the woman. The man should have presence of God first, before woman. Sometime, devil tries to take us from the presence of God and take to the world and say, you enjoy here, enjoy woman and man and together, whatever you want to do. No, that's a place of devil. You have to be in the presence of God all the time. Man need presence of God. And the women will meet you in the presence of God. And that's, you will become a family. And the family should be in the Garden of Eden all the time. Hallelujah. How many believe that when God made a fish, so he made water second. He made water first, then he made fish. He made soil first, then he made plant. Hallelujah. If you want to take out the plant of the soil, what will happen? It will dry. It will die. If you take a fish out of the water, what will happen? Die. And if you take out the man from the Garden of Eden, he will die. So God made Eden first, then God made Adam. Hallelujah. That is why we should be in the Eden all the time and pray. Because there you will meet every need. God will supply all your needs in the Garden of Eden. Say prayer.
Pray.
Say prayer.
Pray.
It's very important. Why? God promised to Satan, Genesis 13, 3 chapter 15 verse. You know, when he was saw everything, you know, they ate the fruit and, you know, they fall from the dominion. So then he talked to Adam, Eve and serpent. And when he was talking to the serpent, he promised one thing. You know what he promised? Okay, Satan, good, you did it. But I want to promise one thing. One day I will come back in a human body. And I will crush your head. You did it. You deceived the lady. And I will telling you that I will come back. And I will bruise your head. Clap for the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, I will come and bruise your head because... Hallelujah. Ladies, you are so powerful. You don't know. God is going to use you to become this kind of generation, those who will stand for the kingdom of God and they will bruise the head of this Satan. You never know what God is going to use you. You know, God has given a woman to take a revenge. Part of the revenge he has given the woman, that you can take a revenge to this serpent, to this demon, to this devil. If you raise these kind of children and bring them to the kingdom of God, you will take a revenge from your enemy. Woman, you're powerful. All the women, clap for the Lord. Sister, clap for the Lord. Come on. You're powerful. You're not here only just to pass your time, but you're powerful. You have a responsibility to raise your children in the presence of God. Never take out men and the children from the Eden. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. That means the presence of God. If your husband wants to go to the church, don't say, oh, you always go to the church. Do some sort of household work things also. You always leave me, you go to the church only. No. If he comes out from the church or Eden, he will be a very dangerous fellow for you. Take your husband to always read Bible, prayer, go to the church, be in the family, be in the fellowship, be in the presence of God, obey the Father, obey the Lord, obey always. He should be in the Garden of Eden. Otherwise, you know otherwise. Praise the Lord. Take a deep breath. Everything will be all right. Don't worry. After 10 minutes. Okay. So God said, I will come and bruise your head. Isaiah 9 chapter 6 verse. Isaiah 9 chapter 6 verse. It says, unto us a child is born, and son is given. Unto us child is born. When the prophecy came, it was like this. Unto us child is born. Angel went to Mary and said, God is saying that he wanna come and he wanna use your womb and he will be with you. You name him Jesus. Jesus means body. Jesus means body. And Bible says, unto us child is born means that Jesus was born with the body and son is given. Son will be entered to this body. Son will not be born. Son will be given. That is why his name was Jesus Christ. Christ means Son of God. Jesus means body. Hallelujah. So God entered into the body of Jesus. And he fulfilled the promise. And that's why we see Jesus Christ. If you read whole gospel of Jesus Christ, you will see he always casted out all the demons. He never ever allowed demons to work in his presence. He was already bruising his head all the time. He was after devil. That's why devil was after Jesus to kill him. Because he knew that God is working through the body. If I kill this body, God will never have a access to the earth. That's why he was after Jesus Christ to kill his body. And he did not know this thing. So you know what? Bible says if he would have known that Jesus Christ will become the Savior of the world, he would have not killed Jesus Christ. He allowed himself, Jesus allowed himself that he should be on the cross. He died on the cross for us. But devil was saying, oh wow, I did it. He never knew that on before Sunday, Saturday will come. Friday he died. Saturday he entered to hell. And he said, oh devil, what are you doing here? Leave my people right now. Everybody will be delivered. Because Bible says he preached to the prisoners. The gospel was preached to the prisoners to deliver them from the hand of the devil. So he emptied the hell and take them out. And he was third day rose again through this body named Jesus. God delivered all the people from Adam till the end of this age. One time. He entered the hell and he delivered everyone. You are delivered child of God. You know that? Devil has no power over your life. No demon. You know what? When Jesus was on the cross, he was dealing with three things: sin, death, and devil. Some people say, the devil is after me. Sorry. Devil has no power unless you give him power. Sometimes we see testimonies, I'm serving the Lord, but the devil is after me. Devil is attacking my child. Devil is doing this. Devil is doing that. Stop saying this type of testimonies. You are highlighting devil. Jesus Christ already fixed devil, death, and sin. You know what is the main problem on this earth? Most dangerous thing is not sin, not death, and not devil. You know, most dangerous thing, you know what? Say ignorance. Ignorance is the most dangerous thing on earth. Devil's playground is ignorance. When we don't, what Jesus has done, that's the time when devil works. We see that sin is powerful. Sorry, sin is already fixed. We see death has power. No, Jesus said, I have overcome the death. Death has no sting now. Or you say devil? Oh, devil is already defeated. Who is more powerful? Ignorance. You don't know what has happened in 2,000 years. What happened when he was on the cross? You don't know that. If you know that, you will be free person altogether, and you will be rejoicing, and you will be saying, God, thank you for this time that you have delivered me from all this pressure. I am delivered. I am free. I can pray. And you will work. You're a powerful person on earth. You're delivered. You're a child of God. You know, Bible talks about three things: king, who is Almighty God, and his kingdom that is already there, and his royal family. Bible is not for everyone. Bible is not for everyone. For the king, kingdom, and his family. Are you his family? I'm a sinner. Already you're paid. Your price is paid. Oh, devil is after me. Devil is already defeated. Why, I fear death. Death is already taken care. Who are you? I'm ignorant. That's a problem. That's a problem. We are ignorant. We don't know what happened 2,000 years ago. We are a child of God. We are delivered people. Our price has already been paid. What we have to do? We have to enjoy. If you know the truth, you should enjoy. Only four things Bible talks about. If you're not a child of God, you feel like you're not a child of God, so you do one thing, you repent. John 1:12 says, as many have received him, God has given them power to become his child. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do this. Then you will have power. And this 31,000 promises will work for you of the Bible. God will stand in for your behalf. But you have to do certain things. If you are a sinner, you need a Savior. If you are son of God or children of God, don't worry about anything. Everything is covered. You are a child of God. You are royal family. How many royal personnel are sitting here? Only one, two, three? Come on. Are you not royal person, bro? Come on, lift your hands. Yes. Clap for the Lord. You are a royal person. Hallelujah. I was watching the royal wedding. Everything was very set, very organized, Everything was, I was saying, and God is telling me, you should know you are more organized if you remember you are a child of God. Your life is organized. Everything's organized. Everything's set. But you have to become a royal person. You have to have thinking of royal family. Sometimes we pray, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Stop this. You're worthy. Your qualification doesn't belong to you. Your qualification belongs to the Almighty God. He accepted you as a son and daughter. He shed his blood for you. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you are full right to come into the presence of God. You are a royal person and you are a son of Almighty God. I feel myself, I'm son of God. My background is not India. Your background is not America. You are cut off from all this history. Your history is from heaven. You are from heaven. And you are here on earth for a purpose to fulfill God's desire. Hallelujah. Clap for the Lord. Hallelujah. We are attached to our history. My parents were poor. My parents were uneducated. My family is very poor. I come from a very sinful family. I was alone. My father was left us in the beginning. I'm this and that, and we are saying, and we are connecting ourselves from all this history. And this history is not for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God, history is king. Your history is not your parents. Your history is not your parents. How many believe that? Your history is your city. Your history is not your country. Your history is Father who sent you on earth. You are belong to King. And you are a royal person. And you are his royal family. Live life king size. Hallelujah. If you understand this concept, you will never worry. You will never be stressful. You will all the time say, oh, my father will take care. I am a royal person. Oh, everything will work in your behalf. If you go to the work, don't say I'm working in this job and my boss is so much, very bossy type of person. Say, boss, I'm working here. You must be blessed because I am a child of God. Remember this thing. Make your mentality like a royal person. And you will have royalty around you. You'll feel the two angels are here, two angels are here. And you are walking in royal atmosphere. You know, we always feel lie it down because we always feel that we are from the world. You are never feel down when you say, "Not, I'm not from the world." That's why Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ has the identical problem. Everybody used to ask, okay, who are you? In the Bible you will see, everybody was asking Jesus, who are you? From which authority you do this work? I know your father, Joseph. I know your mother, Mary. I know your brother, sister lives here. Who are you? They have the problem. Who is he? One day he asked the disciple, okay, what people says about me? He said, oh, some people say you are prophet, you are Elijah, you are this and that. Okay. Tell me. Okay, you tell me. What you are always with me. You, what do you say about me? So, Peter was so charismatic. He stood. You are a son of God, Jesus Christ. He said, oh, Peter, don't be boast. Don't feel that you are so much intellectual person who can describe about me. The Father above has shown this thing to you, that I am a son of God. Peter, this revelation came from above. Because in the whole world in that time, nobody knew that Jesus Christ is Son of God. He knew all the time. That's why he said, my Father, what he says to me, I do it. My Father, he says something, I do it here. My Father, he was already connected with the heaven. He was not connected with the Joseph. He was not connected with the Mary. He knew from where he was. That's why he was reigning like a king. Why you are not enjoying the kingdom? Because you are connected to the world. You are connected to your history. You are not connected to the history of your parents. You are connected from heaven. Hallelujah. Never ever think that you are all alone. Kingdom is covering you everywhere you go. The Father above is taking care of everything. Your children, your future, your needs, your bills, everything is paid off from the Father above. You depend on him. That's why you should pray. In that spirit, you should pray. Thank you, Father. I'm covered by heaven. 30 years back, God has told me something about my needs. I come from a very poor family. I had no money in my pocket. I had no good clothes. But I came to the Lord and God taught me something. And he said, never ever worry about your needs. You do my work, I will do your work. Hallelujah. Good deal. Praise the Lord. I never prayed for my needs. Never prayed. You know why? Because Bible says in Matthew 6 chapter 31 verse. Everybody take out the Bible. 6 chapter 31 verse. What it says? Can you project in the projector? Okay. So Bible says, so do not worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, and what will we wear? Do not worry. And after that, next part. The things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Wow. Praise the Lord. In my translation, it's written like this. Matthew 6 and 31 is very powerful. And I am covered by heaven. I did not know this thing. And it says like this. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Bible said, do not even say. Prayer is a different thing. Do not even say, what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, pagans seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, my Father knows. Say, my Father knows. Don't need to tell my bills, my this and that. Don't need to pay. Even don't say like this. You always believe my Father will cover everything. Because the pagans, those who are people, those who are Gentiles, those who don't have a relationship with Father as a son and daughter, they fear all this thing. They go after all this thing. But I go after, seek ye first the kingdom of God. 33 verse. What I go after? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't even say. I didn't say, Lord, I need this and I need that. I always seek the first kingdom. And the kingdom provided everything to me. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Okay, last words. Otherwise, I will speak after one more. In the church, you know, it was a 11th commandment. Preach less, you will be called again. So that was the 11th commandment, I always remember. Matthew 18 chapter, 18th verse. And one more scripture and the last. Matthew 18:18, it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Say, binding on earth. What are you binding? You know, it's connection between earth and heaven. Jesus said, you bind on earth something, it is bound in heaven. Bound all the darkness, all the demons, and all the power of darkness and all the enemies who works in ignorance. So what you should do, you bind him and God will bind in heaven. You lose blessings, you lose happiness, you lose joy in your family, in your life, and the confidence you lose, and lose, heaven will lose also. This is the power God has given you on earth. You have the power. Hallelujah. Okay. That's my last verse. You know, pastors, when they preach, they have only last verse and three other ABCD. So this is my last verse. Okay. So Bible says, Luke 18 chapter, first verse. How many men are here? How many men are here? Okay. When you read men, that doesn't mean the male person. That means man means mankind. Because God, when God made Adam, men, and he given everybody inside one body. Everybody was inside one body. So mankind was inside the Adam. So Bible says, men ought to pray always. It doesn't say if you pray. Men ought to pray always. You know, devil hates when you pray, especially men. When you worship the Lord, he hates that. Men ought to pray always. You should pray every day. You should pray every time for your family. You are the responsible. You know, some people have said, man is the head of the house. How many believe that? No. Man is not the head of the house. Man is the foundation of the house. Everything is stuck in the foundation. Every burden is on the foundation. Man, God made man, Adam first. That was the foundation. And he has given Adam 7 blessings. I don't have time to share about that. But he was making foundation. So man, you are not only respectful person on this in this family, but you are a responsible person also. That's why you should ought to pray. You should pray for your family, and God is going to bless your family through you, because God has no access without the body on earth. You are that person, and God is going to use you for your family, for your future, for your territory around you. God is going to use you. You need to pray first. You need to ask God, Lord, tell me what my assignment. What should I do for my family? What should I do for my wife? What should I do for my children? What should I do for the kingdom of God? I need to know that this is the responsibility of men. All the men, can you stand? I want to pray for you. All the men. Wow. Lift your hands in the presence of God. You are the responsibility for your family. You are the person God is searching for. When you pray, things work out. When you pray, God is working. When you stop praying, God stops working. You know You don't need to transfer this ministry to your wife only. You are more responsible for your family. Your wife, your children are coming after you. They are behind you. But you are the man who is the leader. You are the person. God is saying, you have to pray. Everybody, pray right now. I want the ladies should raise your hands towards men. Your husband, your brother, your sister, whatever is your relation is. Come on, lift your hands towards this man. Men is important in the sight of God. They are the people. Those who are providers. They bring things inside. You are the receiver. Ladies are receivers. You are the provider. Men are provider. You are a foundation. Everything is resting on you. They need your prayers. Wives, ladies, they need your prayers. Please pray for your husbands, your brothers, your pastor. They need your prayers. Your helper. You help them to succeed in their life. To walk with the Lord. Help them to be in the Eden. To be in the presence of God. They need your love. Encouragement. Oh, wonderful Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for the men in the house, Lord. Your anointing rest upon their life, Father, right now. You ask them to pray. Father, give them strength to pray because they are the legal authority on this earth. They can make a difference. With their prayers, you will work tremendous in their life, Father. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for them, Lord. Let them be in your presence and let them pray because after the prayer, you are going to do great miracles, Lord. That's why we should pray because you need our prayers, Lord. You need prayers to do certain things in our life, Father, in our family. If we don't pray, how you will do it, Lord? Help us to give you permission to work in our family. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. Help everyone, Lord. Everyone. This is the time I want to pray for the whole church. Can you stand? Everybody should stand in the presence of God. I want to pray right now. Lift your hands in the presence of God. Oh, Rabba Naba Shaba Ki Rabba Sad Karalaba. When you have a corporate prayer in this church, devil is a liar. Everybody listen carefully. You should come with whole family to the prayer. Defeat this spirit that we come more in Sunday morning, but we come less in prayer time. Defeat this spirit. When you are having prayer time, come with more people. Bring more people. Bring your friends, your family. Don't leave them behind. Because your prayer will change their life. And the church who's praying together, they are working with the kingdom spirit. They are working with King. Father, I pray for everyone right now. These are your people, Lord. These are your royal family. I pray for everyone, Father. I pray for your royal family, Lord. They are very much important for you, Lord, because they have a body and they are in the kingdom. They are your family, Lord. I pray for them, Lord Jesus. Bless them, use them mightily.